This is a download from the Scottish Drillweed Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger station.
This is Soundbox, the magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Hello. And welcome to Soundblast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's iPod, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson, and I'm right here in Bowness in central Scotland with the indefatigable David Bytheway, the editor, producer and roving reporter for Soundblast. Last September, a frenzy of activity was observed in the paint shop. Many hours were spent completing the roof repaint of Elinia Buffet Car 644. And after many years of use as the railway's buffet car, and many more in storage, the roofing materials of NBR Invalid Saloon 461 had begun to look a little tired.
I'm Dave Simpson, SRPS, Carriage and Wagon Restoration Group, and we're currently working on two carriages in the building at the moment. 461, which is an old British coach, and 644, which is an LNER buffet car.
Now, we're in the buffet car just now, and it's half finished, but what was the state of this vehicle when you first got it?
It was virtually a skeleton. The bodywork was all needing repaired on the outside. The inside had been completely stripped of most materials, and it was just a shell.
So what's been the biggest job to get it back looking like something that it was in its original days?
The biggest job has been, unfortunately, has been the teak for the outside of the carriage. When this was originally built in 1937, it was teak panelled. Panelling has now all gone and we had to get new teak. We now came outside 644 and we're now going to talk about the teak panelling on the outside, which you can hear there. This came from the bottom of the Irish Sea off a ship that was sunk around the beginning of the First World War. And it's lain down there since then, and it was recovered about 10, 15 years ago.
Is it very hard to get teak? Is that why?
Yes, it is, because the political state of the country in Burma just now, we just can't get that stuff out of there.
But obviously, once you got it off the ship, recovered it from the ship, you had to leave it to dry, presumably.
I believe they took it off the ship, cut it into long planks and left it to dry for a good number of years, yes.
And here it is on the coach.
Yeah, we got the bulk of the last of the stuff. There's quite a lot of these carriages in England with the same teak on them, but we were lucky to get some for this one.
And did it take much restoration to bring up the nice grain work that we see there?
Well, that's just done by a nice smooth wood and rubbing down with plenty of varnish rubbed down between each coat.
But of course, it carries the words buffet car on the side, and these are hand-drawn letters.
Yes.
This is your artwork, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately, we can't get these off the shelf nowadays.
The lettering,
especially being so large, it's about 6 or 7 inches high. The LNER lettering and the small carriage numbers, we can buy these off the shelf. The big lettering like buffet car, we'll have to do behind, unfortunately.
How long did it take you?
I'm still working on it. It takes about just a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks' work.
You'd be grateful it doesn't say anything bigger than just buffet car.
Yes, it certainly does. It's a big enough job. They're all finished in gold leaf, as you can see on the other side. These letters here with just a few bits and pieces to add on to it before I get them finished this summer.
My name's Robin Nelson, one of the volunteers for the carriage and wagon department. Task I've been carrying out roughly one day a week since 1997. A fair proportion has been done on the 644, which is the buffet car, the teak buffet car. Typical day is turn up about 10 o'clock, decide what's best to be done for the day. Depends who arrives. Some have special work, some specialise in painting, others in joinery, others in electrical. Myself, I have worked joinery work and on electrical principally over all these years. We have 2 to 3 hours, perhaps, just doing what we can do best in the time available. A break for lunch, away back to work again, about half an hour later or so. That takes us through the rest of the afternoon, by which time I think we all feel reasonably tired, usually satisfied with what we've done, unless we've discovered some horror we didn't expect to meet. Then we break at that, go home. There's another gang come out on a Sunday. I'm not part of them, but equally they do work like that. Currently, in fact, that's involving fitting out the kitchen with worktops, sinks, cooker, fridge. We've reached that stage now on the last lap of restoring 644.
Where do you get the other bits and pieces, like the brass rods and the tables and the chairs and all that sort of stuff that make up this carriage?
The window handrails are original. The window frames are originally chromed. The rest of the chrome work in here is replica.
The replica? So where do you get those from?
We have to get these made specially to a special design, such as the seats which are in the coach. These originally were steel chrome, but they're now past their best. So we've now got new ones made of stainless steel.
So we're in the buffet compartment at the moment. So can you describe it to us? At one end we've got a bar and a kitchen, is it?
On the outside of the saloon there's a kitchen with a small corridor. You come through the door and you come into the bar area, which has a Stills boiler on top of it. And we can serve drinks and wines over the bar as well. From about 15 feet from the end of the bar, you come into the saloon itself, which has seating accommodation for 24 people.
And you've still got some work to do, haven't you, here?
Yes.
So carpets, perhaps, is it?
This particular saloon doesn't have carpets, but we've got linoleum on the floor. When it was originally built, it was foreseen as a public bar sort of thing, as you would see in a pub. So any spillage was on the floor, carpets wouldn't be any good for that. So it's easier to clean up the linoleum than try to keep a carpet clean.
I'm Don Clark. I do some of the joinery work on 644 and 461. One of the really strange things about working on 644 was the rear corners, the four corners of the coach, are curved in three dimensions, and the original framing, when we started doing the job, was rotten. So I made up a bunch of softwood patterns to make teak framing from to fit in one corner. Put it all together, it worked fine. But then I thought, oh dear, there's another three corners like this and they're all opposite hand. Will it work? So I took all the patterns, turned them over, mirror imaged them, and glory be. The same end of the coach, the other side, they fitted within a couple of millimetres. And 60 feet away again, at the other end of the coach, same patterns worked again. That was some craftsmanship in 1937.
My name's David Hall. I've been volunteering here in the SRPS in the Carriage and Wagon Department for approximately a year. I was first involved in the Gresley Saloon doing the wiring, which is now completed and has moved on to the North British Saloon 461. And we have been installing the electrics for the shore supply for charging up the batteries, etc., when the coach is not in use. Also put in a changeover circuit for changing over the batteries when the coach is out in the line.
OK, I'll take you into this coach here. This is the other one we are restoring to go along with 644. This is 461, the North British coach.
Up the steps here.
I see you've been busy working here. There's a lot of tools and equipment still lying around.
It certainly is.
Right, we come straight in, and straight in front of us is the kitchen.
As you can see, this is the kitchen, still with our electrical work and units to be put in here. This will be used for the kitchen car on this coach when it's running in service.
And next door to it?
To the left, the first compartment we come to is the gas compartment, which has been done up and is finished at the moment.
Comfy seat for the guard?
Yes, all nicely upholstered. So, and then into where the toilet is. This has still got work to be done in it. There's a lot of brass fittings still to go back into it again, as this has been restored near enough the North British Edwardian style interiors.
And is that the lettering still on the...
Yes, that's an original
mirror
with the NBE lettering still on it. So this whole coach is to be restored into late Victorian Edwardian style interior.
And right at the end here?
Right at the end here is the observation end, which is, as you can see, is mahogany.
And windows all
round. And windows all round. Three big windows at the end of the carriage so the passengers can look out and enjoy the trip. The walls are going to be covered in Rexene, which is quite a nice material to finish off the interior of this coach here. Once it's all finished, we're going to put carpet throughout the whole coach, and there'll be seating accommodation and the odd tables for people eating it, if we want to use it for private hire.
When it is back in service, how do you see it being used?
We're hoping to use it for special hire and wedding parties, birthday parties. Original plan, we hope for it, will be the North British Saloon, which is an observation end on it, 644, and the LNER Thompson coach over the back there, which is 13803. Use that as a dining train.
And why do you do it? It's taken you years to do this operation, isn't it, this project? So why do you do it? What's in it for you?
Just satisfaction in seeing a job well done. One of our colleagues, Jim Summers, who's working on 644 with us at the moment, was awarded the MBE in the Queen's Birthday Honours List 2011. He told David, by the way, his interest in railways.
Well, I think it's the organisation. An awful lot of people have got to do an awful lot of things in their own little corners to make the whole thing come together. You know, it's a performance, if you like. And whatever form of transport it is, it's the way things interlink that fascinates me. And it's a very skillful thing to manage.
Well, give me an example.
Well, if you produce a timetable, say, you might think that's just a question of deciding when trains run. But that's all got to be backed up by finding the locomotives, the carriages, getting them cleaned, getting the train crew, right down to, and this actually happened, making sure you have the names on the departure board for the likes of Edinburgh Waverley. And on one occasion, that was the actual final stumbling block. But right down to seat reservations, labels on the carriages, and they all start from somebody doing that timetable. And you can see the range of things that all have to come together. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
What's been your biggest achievement in your history, in your work on railways?
Oh, I think seeing new people coming on behind and getting the same enthusiasm and getting the same fun out of it. And some of the people, you know, who were youngsters when I was around are now in high places, and that gives me enormous pleasure.
What did you actually get the award for? Was it for preservation work or just services to the railway industry?
Well, it certainly wasn't preservation work. And I'm interested in the railways of the future just as much as in the railways in the past. No, it was because of the... I had an awful lot to do with the creation of the Institution of Railway Operators, which is the only professional body for operators of railways. And by that means, we have taken people from all grades within the railway and taken them up to degree level. So, and this very afternoon, the reason I'm leaving in an hour is to go to a graduation ceremony in Glasgow, at which we will have another 8, I think it is, Bachelors of Science in Railway Operations. And that is just great. These people now have a professional qualification. There's networks all around, international networks that they're involved in. And anybody interested in railways can get that sort of qualification. And that makes them the same as professional chartered engineers. And that was never the case before. Railway operations was seen as a a dirty end of the job. We were the people who did all the blood and guts and generally got the blame for everything that went wrong. But there was never any understanding that that was in itself a profession. And there were thousands and thousands of great guys that belonged to that profession and worked all through the night and nobody ever knew. Now we've begun to get that on a proper basis. And that's really what it was all about.
Thanks very much indeed.
Okay.
And that brings us to the end of this special edition of Soundblast. The roving reporter, editor, director and producer has been David Bytheway, who invites us to find out more about the Scottish Railway Preservation Society and the Bowness and Cavill Railway at www.srps.co.uk. From me, Sandy Simpson, from David, and from everyone here in Bowness, farewell till we meet again.